Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's Labor Day weekend, the official start of tailgate season. It might be the end of your summer, but I think we got another month or so. But football's kicking off, all the high school, college, everything that's going on. And that fires me up because I get to fire up a grill in a parking lot several times in the next few weekends. But I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Well, it is a beautiful weekend, and just you couldn't ask for better weather. I'm actually camping. I had to run in to do this, but having a great time out in the forest right along Lake Michigan in a private spot. Won't say where because I don't want anybody else to know where it is.
Yeah, right. That is a big lakeshore. He's that little speck that's as you drive by on your boat somewhere between Ludington and Muskegon. There he sits right there.
There you go, yeah. Out in the forest. Jop, I have a big question for you.
Uh-oh.
You know, my house is 28 years old.
Yep.
And I guess 27 this year. And everything's shot. The one thing, after talking to you a week ago, I realized that we're doing our remodel next spring. And as soon as that's done, what we need to do is we need to totally redo our kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your gig.
Sure. Yep.
You always ask me advice on certain things for smoking or whatever. Now I need some help. And I bet there's a lot of people like me that built in the late 80s. I think I built in 89. So that house is 27 years old. It had builder grade cabinets. There, you know, we've already painted them a couple times and done all this stuff, put new countertops in. But, dude, they are shot.
Sure.
They are shot.
They don't owe you anything. If they've lasted that long, they've lived out their life, and you should feel good that they lasted that long, whether they were builder grade or not. If you've got, you know, you raised five children in that house, and they took a beating.
Oh, man.
And I know that your daughters, you know, resurfaced them or painted them, took them all off the hinges sanded them down and repainted them. I know when she did all of that because, you know what, kitchens are expensive, and when you're raising a family, it's just not necessarily a priority. But you're about to be an empty nester. Your youngest is a senior this year. So,
and she's featured in the latest Arctic Spa commercial.
Oh, is she really?
Yeah,
how'd she get connected with
that? She's now a spa model.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Gratis.
Was that pictures off of your backyard?
She didn't. Yeah, we had Bruce Dahl come out, and who is an IT and photo specialist, and he took some wonderful shots. Guy's awesome.
Yep.
He runs the Lowell Fair, which he does a great job at, or the Kent County Youth Fair. So anyway, my question is, I'm really, really in the kitchen as much as my wife, and I've been in the housing business for years and years and years, so I'm as keenly interested in this case as my wife would be.
Sure.
But one of the big things I heard a week ago was don't go with the farmhouse look because that's run its course.
Well, kitchen style, not design, there's a difference. Design is the layout and the functionality. Style is the look. Right. And there's lots and lots of different you go everything from farmhouse, traditional, transitional, contemporary. There's a lot of words that the design industry uses. But it's when we talk about that, it's that what do you want to do with your house? Are you getting this ready to spruce it up and sell?
No.
Are you getting
I'm making the giant come back home to your parents and grandparents' house. So we're adding on to the front, going up and out.
Right.
And then we'll have a lot more room. So I want to make that kitchen a monster kitchen.
Sure. And I know you're
going
house
all
and
the way to the fireplace.
That's where I was going. Is you've got a traditional L-shaped kitchen with a door on one end and then a peninsula that sticks out off the adjoining wall.
Right.
Kind of creates a little bit of a U. two entry points. That's a very, very common layout.
In 89, that was a huge kitchen.
Sure, sure, it was. And knowing that you both like to cook and you're very good at it, those are some of the things. That's more the layout. But you asked about the style. And my answer always on the style is if it's, you're doing this for you, do it however you want to do it. But if you're doing it for resell, no, then there's a different, that's a different
resell
conversation.
I so doubt that it'll ever be sold.
Your house, I know what you're going to be doing with your house, but your house is not a farmhouse. But that doesn't mean it can't have a farmhouse.
No, it's going to be a traditional single story with a vaulted center.
Right. But that doesn't mean you can't have a farmhouse sink. If you like that look, it's just got a big apron on the front. Absent of that, it's a piece of cabinetry, right? So you're either going to have cabinetry on the front of your sink and your sink sits down in the cabinet, or you're going to show the front of the sink. Personal preference, man. I can't tell you to do one thing or another. If you're going to stay there, my advice always would be is do what you like, do what your wife likes, so that you're both happy when you're in the space. And bigger is better in sinks. I've watched you cook for that monster group that by.
I want a great big trough.
Right, exactly. So you go to 42 or even a 48-inch sink when you're doing a remodel. That seems huge for the empty nesters, but you get a lot of people that come back.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't come back by themselves.
No.
When your kids come back, their friends are like everywhere.
Right.
Right. And that's the cool part about your house because it's set up to do that. But if you're going to remodel that and reconfigure that kitchen, that would be where my advice would go.
Okay, if you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. This is not the Home Fix-It Show.
Yeah.
We're going down a little bit of a path here because I think anybody in the listening area or the Grillin' Guy type people, they all like to cook.
Right.
So this is relevant to me, but you have a business called Home Life in Ada. You have a beautiful showroom. You do all this stuff for people. And just because it's in Ada doesn't mean it's all really pricey.
Right.
That's where we're located. You and Brad the Builder do.
Right.
So, I mean, I know you're going to do the job for me. I shouldn't say that to you, but.
Yeah, the price just went up. No competition. We're going to get this one.
Yeah, but I guess, you know, it's going to be costly, and I want to make sure when we do that in 5 years we don't go, oh, my gosh, we should have never went with this style.
Well, you're going to end up with a 12 by 20 kitchen. When you take that peninsula out and you go all the way over to that wall because you're going to have more room out the front of the
28.
House.
28.
Yeah, so that'll be large, and you'll have a seating space in there, and you'll also have a big island to prep on is what I see.
Right.
You might even have water in that prep sink.
I want to. And one of the things I'm really interested in, since our utility room's small, is a great big sink.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes
washing
there's
just pans
big
and trays
stuff. It doesn't fit in my sink.
Right. And you might not want that in your, you know, your kitchen is adjacent to a bedroom that you probably will still need, but you may be able to capture a little bit of that and go deeper into that room if that were, you know, I mean, that's all design
stuff.
Well,
I'm thinking two sinks out there. Here's another thing. What do you think about those pull-out drawer dishwashers?
Oh, I think they're good. There's usually two of them when you do that because one doesn't have the capacity of your normal dishwasher. I've seen you pack your dishwasher.
Yeah.
I mean, it's full.
Yeah,
all the time. Right.
So you could run one. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be heading down to Home Life in Ada and start the shopping quest with Maureen because she's.
Well, and you know what?
She's deserving of a new kitchen.
Right. And I'd give one piece of advice that what you're doing is really smart is if you want to do this in the spring, start 3 or 4 months ahead of time.
That's why I'm asking you now.
Right.
Because, we need to plan a lot, but basically, I sure appreciate your advice.
Well, and you know, this is the first of several conversations
that'll
happen around that. Coming up next, Barbecue Bob's going to head back to the woods after the show, and I know he's going to bust out the Dutch oven at some point in time, so we're going to talk a little bit about how to maybe use one of those around the open fire. You're listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Fresh, artisanal, and awesome is what I expect with beer and food. At Arcadia's downtown Battle Creek original brew pub, it's authentic wood-fired cuisine and artisanal ales. At Arcadia Brewing Company's new Kalamazoo Riverfront Brewery Pub and Kitchen, it's those same ales and real-deal barbecue. This is Tim Surprise from Arcadia Brewing Company, and as always, please savor the flavor responsibly.
This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's Garrett'sAppliances.com, Garrett'sAppliances.com.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. You do have to cook your meat well done if you don't want it to taste like anything. But if you want to have a flavor, you better stop at medium. That's just a tip from Jop, the Grilling Guy. But Barbecue Bob, you busted in to do the show from camping land. And yeah. I know you're headed back out there for the long weekend. You kind of interrupted this vacation to do a radio show.
I did. And I have a funny little story before I get into this Dutch oven thing I'm doing today. I went to get a haircut. As you can see, I like my GI haircuts. And I go to Cascade Barbershop to see Andy. It's right where Old 28th Street in Grand Rapids runs into Cascade.
Yep.
And
this is kind of the little red and white stripe thing.
If
out
you've
front,
never been to a really cool barbershop, this is the place you want to go to because, number one, a bunch of the guys there listen to the show. So I want to give them a shout out.
So they're clapping right now. We just can't
I
hear
hope
them.
So. Yeah. But
shout out to Andy.
It's just a cool place because we talked about fishing. I had to wait an hour for a haircut. The place was so jammed up.
That's cool.
But the guys stay and wait because it's such great conversation. And our partner,
this is a guy's coffee clutch. It's just it's just at the barbershop.
I told him about Russ Springsteen starting Right Brain Brewery by being a barber and brewing beer and giving it to his patrons. And I said, Andy, you know, any barber worth his salt would start brewing beer. And everybody thought that was a great idea.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm out in the woods and I've got this great big 12-quart Dutch oven, you know, the big lodge.
Well, you're feeding a bunch of people too.
I think it's a 12-quart. But it's big and it's got the rim on the side. So what I've done is I actually picked up a few supplies at Costco. It's the only place I could find a nice bag chair, believe it or not, in town because everybody's kind of gotten rid of them. They're all out to stadium chairs now. But I also picked up this bottle of a blend of onions and peppers. It's just a beautiful
like pickled or
soiree. No, it's just a cool. You know, there are so many of these blends you can buy now. So what I did was...
Is it a seasoning or is it the vegetable?
No, it's all chopped up peppers and onions, like a medley, in oil.
Is it frozen or
no,
in a jar?
No, it's just in a jar. And so what I did was I carved up that roast really nice. I trimmed any big chunks of fat off it. Mm-hmm. There's two of them.
Like and a chuck roast?
Yeah, it's that cow I got through Dan Hula, our friend from the Barbecue Guild. And it was a big hand grass-fed, beautiful black Angus. So, I mean, it's marbled nicely. But I did want to carve that extra fat off it, because if I'm going in a Dutch oven, whatever that roux is when I'm done, we want to use that. And I don't want a ton of animal fat in that. I just want a little bit for flavor. So I trimmed it up really nice. I put some sea salt and some cracked pepper on it and some fresh garlic cloves. I poured all that, a whole bunch, almost a whole jar in there. And then...
Of the peppers and onions?
And then...
With the juice?
Yep. Okay. And then I put in some Worcestershire and half of a beer that I was going to drink. And
well, you drank the first half.
She's on. She's sitting in the coals right now.
Okay, so you built your campfire.
It's going to go all day. Right. Well, the campfire's been going for days.
Right. So you're not. This thing is. Did you pull some coals over and set it on those coals too, as well, or is it just sitting beside?
I dug a little hole right next to the fire, and I just scooped out a bunch of coals, put it in the hole, and then I scooped out some coals and put it on top of the Dutch oven. Because I only want about an inch and a half of coals under it.
Yep.
And about an inch and a half on top. Because they have so much heat.
Right. Well, that cast iron gets hot and it stays hot.
You don't want to burn your meat. You want to cook it. So it, just like cooking in a Weber kettle, you got to be careful how much charcoal you put in it. Because there's not a whole lot of control to that thing if the lid's off.
Right. Yeah. Right? It's sucking air like crazy and getting really hot. So back to the Dutch oven. So the oil is the wet that you use off of the vegetables so that your roast doesn't stick on the bottom of the Dutch oven. And that thing, how are you going to know when it's done?
I've cooked on it enough times, and I know that, and I've got two big fat roasts in there. One's a rump roast, and one is a chuck.
So this is a big
kettle. The rump is really lean, and the chuck's really fat.
Right.
So the chuck is sitting on top of the rump.
Yep, because that rump's going to be thick like a softball.
Yep.
Where the chuck is going to be thinner.
And that chuck just draped over it beautifully. And then I have about three Spanish onions in there as well.
So with the peppers and onions that you bought in the jar.
It should be just to die for.
Right.
I love cooking with a Dutch oven. We do a lot of cast iron stuff when we camp. The other thing the kids love are those hobo pies.
Mm-hmm.
We have several of those. The first night up, we did, and this is something that our friend Kathy likes to do, and she brought up tortilla shells and spicy chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And then
all cooked already.
Yeah, and then we put in some peppers, onion, and...
some cheese, probably.
Cheese, yeah. And, oh my gosh, does that make a beautiful taco hobo pie?
The hobo pies, are those the ones in the little, like,
clam
Tonka
shell.
Toaster?
Tonkas, people call them Tonkas.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So there's a metal top and bottom and a hinge, and you clamp it down.
Yeah, that was the thing Rob Russell discovered when he was out here. And he was trying to describe, he had never seen before. So if you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys. We're talking all things fall into the right equipment, camping,
right,
tailgating, but it's fall into your equipment. Because it's fall's coming. I mean, it's knocking on the door. The sun, it's just not, light at 5:40 anymore.
Or at 9:30 at night. Right. Yeah, 9 o'clock. It's getting dark, and it's going to, unfortunately.
So Dutch ovens are just a cool thing. Now I do have a tripod for it too, with the pulley and everything. It's one of these Lodge kits that's maybe $150.
Right.
I bought off a friend who didn't like it.
So let me ask you a question, because this is a real issue sometimes when you're camping. You get done with that meal, and you've got to take care of that cast iron. You're out. You are rustic camping.
Yeah.
So you brought all your water with you, any that you have, so you don't have an abundance where you can run a faucet and clean the thing out. What do you do for it?
We take a couple 5-gallon pails, and we go down to Lake Michigan.
Okay.
And we just get a couple of nice half pails of water, and we wash our dishes right in lake water.
Okay. So when you wash that, where I want to go is that, how do I take care of that cast iron if I want to use it again tomorrow or maybe Monday want to do it again?
Sure, yeah. Typically when we're camping, we don't do a whole lot, but when I get home, I'll spray it with Pam.
Okay. So you're just wiping it out. I mean, when the meal's done, you're getting all the pieces out of there and wiping
rinsing
it out.
Rinsing a little water in it, yeah,
but
scrubbing
not a
out,
lot.
Scrubbing
no
out
soap,
anything.
Right?
The water doesn't hurt much. The water doesn't tend to take the oil out of it. It's the soap that'll kill you.
Right.
And never put Dawn in cast iron.
Right.
Because Dawn eats up everything.
Yeah. Yes, she does. She's a big girl.
Yeah. So some of the potential troubles you can have with Dutch ovens are, number one, temperature.
Mm-hmm.
Burning your food. Some guys think they can set it right in a large bed of coals. And you can't really do that. You've got to be very careful with a Dutch oven. Another problem people will have is they'll set it next to their campfire and go out deer hunting or hiking or whatever they're doing. Well, about every hour you need to rotate that thing if you're doing a long cook like chili or
anything like that.
Oh,
if you're getting ready to heat on one side.
Because one side is going to get a little hotter than the other, and you got to plan on taking that lid off and stirring it up and spinning that thing around. And it's got little legs on it, so you literally have to have mitts with you. Lift it up, spin it, put it down. Be careful with that thing, man. It's heavy when it's full.
One, it's heavy, and two, it's hot, and you've got coals right on top. So when you lift that handle, your knuckles are pretty close to the fire, so to speak. So make sure you have a nice of glove or whatever it is.
Welding gloves, man.
Perfect.
Take your old barbecue gloves camping because they're going to get really dirty, and they're already dirty when you've been using them around your grill.
Sure.
So take your old set up, and it doesn't matter what happens to them at that point.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to wash them in some Dawn.
Yeah. I left mine out in the rain the other night. I forgot I left them on top.
I do it all the time.
Yeah. You know what? It was no big deal. They just dried out. And they was like, hey, these actually are a little bit cleaner.
Are they the leather ones?
Oh, yeah. Big red leather ones come up almost to your elbow.
Yeah,
those big ones.
Yeah, you can throw them in the dryer.
It was leather. I just let it dry. You know what? The cow was walking around in the rain, so why can't my gloves? That's where I'm going with it. But anyway. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about setting up for the cooler weather. Unfortunately, it is coming our way. There's some things that you can maybe do while the weather's still good that'll help you when the weather's not so good. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fennvalley.com.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the Labor Day weekend edition of the Grilling Guys. Barbecue Bob made a trip back from his camp somewhere in North West Michigan on Lake Michigan to come back and share a little bit of love and of the grill and the outdoor cooking with you and me.
And maybe catch a shower at your house.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's right. It's rustic camping, isn't it?
Am I so ripe?
Yeah, right, yeah.
No, actually, we bathe right in Lake Michigan. Our friends are fanatical about bringing biodegradable soaps up.
Oh, sure.
It's kind of a ritual. That's kind of cool. Everybody goes out and, you know, washes their hair because we bring the stuff down there and you come back all clean, wagging your tail.
Sure.
Shaking.
Yeah.
And I can honestly say I'm a little happier to be at the beach with my shirt off right now thanks to Snap Fitness. I am pretty self-conscious about the love handles and the fat I've grown over the years.
Dude, you're almost 60. You earned it. Okay.
Yeah, but,
I mean, I know you want to look good, but you ain't 25 anymore.
I feel a little better about, you know, having maybe a little bit of definition
tone
now in my biceps and triceps and
sure,
and being able to see little pieces of my core here and there.
Yeah.
And the love handles have shrunk. My legs are stronger. It's such a great payback.
Sure.
And it, as well, when I come out of there, I just feel invigorated. I mean, the minute I swipe my key on the door, I get this little burst of adrenaline or endorphins or something. I don't know what it is, but I'm happy.
That might be the earbuds you have in and the tune that comes on when
you're
walking
in the
door.
Well, I do have a great playlist. Always manipulating the playlist.
Right.
So I wanted to talk about setting up the grilling area, your barbecue area for the cooler weather, because it's something I do, and I wonder how many people, you know, have to make modifications for the weather.
Well, the first thing that I think of is a roof over your tools. We were talking about your big belly, you know, not that roof over those tools, but putting a roof over your tools.
Oh,
and,
my God.
And that
you
is...
You said tools. Like, I have several of them.
Right.
Okay.
So that, you know, the fall has inclement weather. It always happens.
Yeah.
And you're not going to want to let the weather dictate when you can grill. You want to do it the other way around, is I'm going to grill regardless of the weather.
Yeah.
So that's really what we're talking
about.
That's
a huge variable, too, because like most people, everybody's decking area is different. And I've got this cool thing that I had made with a fabricator years ago. It was an idea I tried to sell. It's like this giant canvas cabana room. So I have that mounted on my deck. Most people are not going to have something quite that permanent.
Right.
So one of the cool things that I've done on my old deck, I don't need to do it now, but I just drilled a hole in an area on one of the benches, two holes, and I could take a big patio umbrella and I could slide it in through the bench hole and then it would mount down on the floor and I could pop up a patio umbrella to keep the area dry if I'm going to go out and grill.
Right.
And just bring an umbrella out with me. And you can even get a cheap one, the cheap lightweight ones. They're about $40 this time of year.
They're right, yeah, they're all on clearance.
Typically $79.99. Yeah. Just get, you know, one of the cheaper ones from Meijer or somewhere like that. But that's a – personally, I think every grill should have an umbrella.
Right, a cover over to some sort so that you don't have to stay. The grills function differently in the weather. And you do, too. And if you can get yourself and the grill under something, you're going to get a lot better result, or you're going to get a more consistent result.
Yeah, and it might be a good excuse for you to go out with the wifey and buy a new patio umbrella for her, be the hero, buy her a new one, and then you can scam the old one and keep that tucked away in the garage for your grill area.
Great plan.
Actually, that's a great plan.
Yeah, because
you'll be the hero, and you get an umbrella. You get to take the old one.
Yeah, it'll get smoky. And it'll get dirty when you're using it in the grill because, you know what, it's a little messy around the grill a lot of the time. But there you go. So maybe the used one is a better way to go.
Because you get a lot of rain in the fall.
Yeah.
And actually, we've had a lot in the summer, this late summer. We've had a lot.
Earlier this week, I was making a delivery, and what happened was I was taking the U-Haul truck back, right? I had to rent a U-Haul truck, whatever.
Oh, sure.
And I'm waiting on the corner and of a major intersection in Grand Rapids, 28th Street and the Beltline. There's white caps on the road. The wind's blowing so hard, it's raining so hard, it's like a foot and a half, 2 foot deep. I see a little Prius out there with water about 5 inches up its door.
Yes.
Right? So my shop is 5 miles away from where I was. Never rained. And so it's these little pop-up storms. It was torrential rain where I was. And the
guys were in Grand Rapids.
Yeah, and the guys were painting and at my building, and they never saw a drop. I mean, it's crazy.
Isn't that
crazy? These pop-up stores.
I was on 28th Street that day.
Yeah.
I was heading down. I was looking for coolers that day.
Okay.
So I'm buzzing up and down 28th Street. And I have my Jeep, you know, my Jeep. And it is high and, you know, big tires. It plowed right through it. But I'm watching all these cars. And I got into one area right in front of Dick's Sporting Goods that I bet you that water was already a foot deep.
Yeah.
And I was doing like 30, and I plowed through it, and it's like wanting to take me sideways a little bit. I'm like, holy cow.
Yeah.
And it was coming down so fast, I had no business doing 30 because I couldn't see all that well.
Yeah. But it's kind of fun when you hit that if you're not in thick traffic.
I love it.
I got to admit it.
I love it. So like sorry about the bunny trail on that. Yeah. Anyway, and then, you know, I guess another thing is if it's fall coming, you also get a lot of high winds. And all winter long, you're going to have high winds. And making your grill area safe is a biggie, especially since we're working so hard to convince people to go back to natural lump charcoal. I think we're selling smokers and kettles for people.
Yeah.
But so if you've made that switch back to charcoal and you've got a wooden deck, how are you making it safe?
Well, you got to shield the wind because, you know, earlier this summer you had the accident where the coal came out of the...
Oh, yeah.
And a wind can assist that. If you got wind blowing through, it's going to do two things. One, it's going to heat up your grill a lot hotter if you let the wind at the coals, but you need to shelter that because the wind also sweeps the heat away from the grill. So you got pluses and minuses there, but shelter, it's north and west, right?
So
if you can,
There's a cool, easy way you can do that, and I was... I'm usually building stuff out in my shop anyway, but if you have any scraps of plywood, you can literally take a couple of like 4x4 chunks or whatever you have, whatever the size of the scraps are, a 3 foot wide and a 3 foot wide, you know, four foot tall. You can take a couple of those pieces and put a couple hinges on them, keep it stashed in your garage, and just literally set it down on your grill next to your grill.
It's a little windbreak.
And form a windbreak. But I was more thinking like underneath the grill. I have under my deep fryer, which I finally fixed. I got it running perfectly.
Oh, good.
Under my deep fryer, I have that nice big sheet of
steel
with an
edge. Four foot.
Yeah, a guy from Rapistan made it for me. And it's a great spark guard. But you can literally do that with galvanized or certain types of steel. And just make a spark guard. Now, this one has a slight little edge on it, which I don't know that I would recommend because it's intended to hold the oil in case I overflow.
Which happens if you use it with the fryer. Sure.
Yeah, but for your grill, they actually make these several different types of mats.
Mm-hmm.
Get the very biggest one you can find. They're only about $79, and they're kind of a rubber material, but they literally do the coals won't burn through them. They're kind of like silicone gloves, you know?
Yep.
You can just literally pick up fire with them.
Well, and if you're standing on it for an extended period of time, then it also has a little back support. You're not on a hard deck, you know? It's got a little sponginess to it. So, byproduct of the grill mat. But
sure.
Anyway, you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Check us out on thegrillingguys.com because there's a ton of recipes, bunch of information. All of our old shows are archived on there. So, great place to go as a resource if you're missing the show. Coming up next, we're going to be building a smoker in an afternoon in your backyard. Nice little fall project. You're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back. Like the wind and the rain, you rock me, mama, like a southbound train. Hey, mama, rock me. Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby. Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill. This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
I like my backyard. I like being outside all year long. I work hard. I exercise and live life to the max. Nothing's better than slipping out in my Arctic spa and relaxing with my family. The Spa Boy Advanced Water Care System keeps my water crystal clear, and I control everything from my smartphone, iPad, or laptop. Check out arcticspas.com and find the perfect hot tub for your home. I'm Barbecue Bob.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120 where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
That's some funky bumper music. I'm digging that, man. Produced today by the one and only Brian Fargus is on the big board taking care of us, taking time out of his holiday weekend to come back and partake in this foolishness. So appreciate that, Brian. I'm Jop, and he is Barbecue Bob, and you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Check us out on our website, thegrillingguys.com. Barbecue Bob, you're on Twitter and Facebook and all those other places.
Yeah, it's Grilling Guy at Twitter, and, of course, the Grilling Guys forward on Facebook / The Grilling Guys. Don't forget to hit up our website. It's being used more and more, I'm happy to say, and people are asking questions all the time. It's nice to log on and answer. I'm getting better, and hopefully you are getting better about logging on and answering them, because I think for a while we got lazy and forgot to look, and there's questions lingering for weeks and weeks. We apologize if you are one of those people. We do not want anyone to be dejected.
Yeah, I hope you continue to eat before we responded, because you'd be pretty hungry.
I know. There was actually a Facebook question the other day. This beautiful lady asked about how to do a pork butt that afternoon. Yeah. It's like, ooh, hope it turned out.
Yeah, now you pissed off her whole family because nobody got
thanks
to eat because we forgot to answer.
Why don't you listen to a good show next time?
It's that time of year. I'm so stoked. You know, I go bow hunting with my buddy Ted up at Whipple Lake, and we have a mouse problem in the trailer right now. So the guy went up there and literally tore the whole belly of the thing out, everything out of the floor of it, and those darn mice chewed through the bottom of the trailer, and they're raiding us. So I'm going to go up there on the 17th by myself, and we're right on the lake, so I have water. I'm going to bring about 4 bags of thin set with me, and I'm going to pour a new floor in that little 1952 Trotwood, our little tin shack in the woods.
So that the mice can't get through it. Then.
They ain't going to chew through thin set.
Right, yeah.
I hope they try.
New set of dentures for that little
right.
mouse.
Yeah. So, nothing worse than having the mice break in during the week when you're gone. And well, there is one thing worse. It's having, like, some hooligans break in.
Right, yeah.
Trashing it. But
so let's talk a little bit about, we talk so much about smoking. And there's a lot of guys that they want a grill, they have a grill, they maybe have a deep fryer, but they don't have a smoker yet.
Right.
And about building one.
It is. It's not my idea. I stole it years ago and actually helped a few people do it. And I've got, if I didn't have so many smokers, I'd do one on my property, because I have a beautiful non-used piece of concrete. We used to have a big doghouse on it. and it just kind of sits there in the woods, and it would be a great spot to do this. But let's say you've got an old garage floor or an old chicken coop concrete area, or just a spot you want to build one and bring in some pea stone for the ground of it. You can literally build a little smoker with just a few cement blocks. And I say a few based on how big you're going to make this thing. But basically, you're talking about having a surface, and let's say you don't have concrete, because most of you won't. So you just go borrow your neighbor's utility trailer like I do. Go to the gravel yard and get a yard of pea stone. Okay. And it's the size of peas, naturally. And it's cleaned. It's washed. There's no dirt in it. It's just really nice floaty stone. And it's nice for leveling off an area. People use it for – everybody knows what I'm talking about. So, and then what you need to do is go to your local cement block producer, and they're all over the place. You can pick up cement blocks at any concrete yard in Michigan. And you're going to need, again, keep the trailer, because you're going to need to figure out the math on them. What's the size of a concrete block?
I think they're 12 by 6.
Eight. They're 8 inches deep.
Okay.
And they're 12 and a half, I think, or 11 and a half, somewhere around 12 inches.
Right.
And they're probably 8 to 10 inches tall. So what you're going
to
do
you're not talking to the mason, so I don't know.
Yeah. No, he's your landlord.
Yeah.
So you can literally just stack these things up. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a U-shaped row of blocks to whatever size I want my smoker pit to be. And then you're going to overlap the joints differently each time you do it so that they kind of strengthen each other. If you want to drive a few...
piece of re-rod?
Re-rod, I'm thinking, or metal stakes, anything you've got, aluminum pole, something, through some of the holes in a few spots. If you're going to keep it there a while, it'll keep the blocks from moving, but they just don't move anyway.
You're not mortaring these. You're just going to set them on top of one another.
They're free-floating, and that's right. The beauty of it. You can take this thing down when you're not using it. So then you go up like two courses, and you lay a sheet of this reinforced grated steel across it, and try not to get the type that is zinc-coated or what they call aluminized, because that will actually emit a poisonous gas the first few times you burn it. And if you do use it, burn a fire or two before you actually put any food on it. But it's just going to be cold steel, you know, cold rolled. And
but a grate, not a solid piece.
A grate,
right.
Yes.
Because you want the heat to come through it.
That's right. Yep. So what you're going to do is two courses up, you're going to lay that sheet, and then you're going to put two more courses around it. So you'll be four courses tall. And then get a piece of sheet metal, steel, scrap metal, basically, the hood off a 53 Chevy will work.
Yeah, the one in my backyard, right?
That's
yeah,
right.
Right. Yeah. But the idea is to cover the top of that thing.
To make a hood for it.
Right.
And then down on the bottom of it, and this is why it's nice if it's concrete, because it's a clean surface for cleaning in and out. But down on the bottom, you're going to build your fire.
Right.
Now, that grate of steel... there's a couple ways to affect that, but if you wanted to be really smart about it, you could have your first two rows 10-inch block and your second two rows 8-inch block, and then you could cut your grate so that it just set down on those blocks.
Sure.
So you had that 2-inch rim all the way around
right.
it. But you build a fire in the front of it. You push it back after it's nice and mature. You push all those coals to the back, and then you set your meat on that grate.
On the front, again, indirectly.
On the front, and you throw your wood in the back for smoke, and you put that, and that smoke curls right up, hits that lid, and wants to exit out the front. And I'm thinking for $150, you built a giant, you can do a whole hog on that thing.
Right.
It's fantastic.
And they work really well. I mean, that's what smokers were before they became modernized when the cavemen were doing it, and it's time for a little bit of man law.
Now you're a man! A man, man, man! Now you're a man! A manny, manny, man! A man, man, man! You are now a man! You're a man! Now you're a man!
Yesterday's Man Law is brought to you by Bickey's Bridge Street Pasty in Saranac, Michigan. the best pasties in Lower Michigan, guarantee you. And Tony and Tony brought them out to our party and came in like the Lone Ranger or the saving the day type of hero for our party, and just with a beautiful load of pasties. And gotta love people that do that.
And the gravy was already there.
It was, yes. Yeah. Yeah, you made it.
Yeah.
You probably put them up to it.
Well, maybe.
Did you see the giant size ketchup I had? And it was Hunt's. It wasn't Heinz.
Right.
I don't buy Heinz. Before dating a buddy's ex, you are required to ask him permission. If he grants it, he is, however, allowed to say, "Man, you're going to love the way she kisses."
Yeah.
He's allowed to say that.
Well, sure.
That might deter him.
Absolutely.
Good man law.
Yeah.
Keep it in mind if you're single.
Let's talk a little bit about a deep fryer real quick, Bob. We got about a minute left, and
okay.
You said you got yours working again. What was wrong with it? Because I was cooking on it, and it wasn't working, and we went to plan B.
Well, thanks to the good folks at Kingsland Hardware, I had needed a new regulator.
Oh, okay.
And I had two regulators, but both of them were the screw-on for a propane tank.
Uh-huh.
And Sandy down there brought me over to his parts and accessories area, and he had several sizes. And I looked at one that was a little bigger, and I thought, that one's going to give me the BTUs I need, because these other ones are the basic stamped-out jobs. So it wasn't delivering the gas. We couldn't, once we put the French fries in the deep fryer, she was dropping down to like 250 and just hovering there.
Couldn't get it back up.
They were terrible.
Right. Yeah, they were a little chewy.
Oh, you ought to hear it now, man.
Yeah.
So thanks to Kingsland Hardware in Cascade on 28th Street, right by the Cascade Barbershop. You can hit them both at the same time. And then you can stop at Pit Stop Barbecue and see Matt.
Right. All a great little neighborhood right there on the southeast side of Grand Rapids. But you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the holiday weekend. Be safe out there, but absolutely get out in your backyard. Fire up a grill. We got one more little quick segment here. We're going to talk about some vegetables on the grill for those of you that are not the carnivores that Barbecue Bob and I are. So thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
We got a fire going down by the riverside. Sip whiskey up and bar, living like we're
If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes, along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior, can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys. Got a little bonus segment here that we're going to do for you. This is the time of year when all the farm markets are just ripping with a variety of vegetables that are coming out of the fields. It's one of my absolute favorite times of year.
Gosh.
And I don't even know where to start. Yeah.
Tomatoes, man. Just
right.
Eat as many as you can. I'm one of these guys who gorges on what's fresh.
Right.
And
yep.
And in the winter, you know, you bang the oranges from Florida.
Yeah.
This time of year, man, just eat as many tomatoes as you can, because before not too long, they're going to suck again.
Grab one of those big beefsteak tomatoes, slice it in half, set it on the grill with the slice side down for about 2 minutes just to get a little bit of grill marks on that baby. Then flip it over and just put a little bit of grated Parmesan cheese. And if you've got some Old World Olive Company traditional balsamic, and you sprinkle a little of that on that onion, close the lid, let the cheese get a little bit gooey, you pull that off. Super simple side
dish.
You
could do that with mozzarella, too,
and just do like a
hot caprese.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Well,
just fabulous, but simple little deal.
You know, you're a big squash guy, and I know you like doing the acorn and all that. You've grilled pumpkin before.
Sure.
I like peppers, and I think it's sometimes a little overlooked how great certain types of peppers can be if you put them over a nice low flame and just get different characteristics, because pepper is actually a really complex vegetable. And, you know, I've talked in the past, and we joke about the capsicum, the chemical in there, and all the nutrients and the things in that fiber, you know, that you want to take out for the heat or whatever. But they actually change the flavor completely. And they're
when
big,
you
they're
when you grill
on,
them,
they're big on this in Mexico. They have several ways of roasting. You get chipotle if you bake them. You get another name for it if you just roll a jalapeno across a hot skillet. It does something completely different, and it actually tastes different. It sweetens it up. So I think peppers like that on the grill, no matter if they're a hot or a sweet, doesn't matter. That's a really cool way to two things. Number one, make your meal look more appetizing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a proven fact that you eat healthier if you have an appealing looking dish. And the other thing is it gives you a variety. And we are creatures of habit, and I'm really guilty of doing the same old thing all the time.
Well, like, you got a go-to. Everybody's got their go-to recipes,
I love
right?
chili dogs.
Right.
I buy Skyline chili or yep. Hormel if I want a Cincinnati style with this. I mean, I could eat chili dogs at least once a week.
Right. Yeah.
I just love them.
And, the other thing that's this big this time of year is sweet corn. There's a lot of different ways to do it. You can grill it with a Hassan, soak it in water, do whatever.
Yep.
One of the fun and easy ways, if you're feeding a lot of people, is cooler corn.
Yeah.
Is you just put the layers of that sweet corn right in the husk.
And we're almost done with it.
Right. And then you pour boiling water in there and shut the lid, and it'll cook itself 15, 20 minutes to be done. But you can leave it in there up to an hour, and you aren't going to hurt it at all. You pull it out. Be a little careful because they're hot.
Yeah,
pull them out of there with tongs and then peel them back, and you'll see the steam come off.
And look at that new cooler you just got, that giant igloo.
Right, 150-quart deal.
Oh, man.
You know, it said it held 244 cans of beverage. I'm like, you couldn't lift it.
No
if it
kidding.
Had that, if it had that in there. But
hey, don't forget to check us out on thegrillingguys.com. Stay in touch with GIBBQ. Getting some help right now from David Webb from the David Webb Show on Sirius Patriot 125. We're getting a little forward motion again. So keep up with it. If you have friends who want to donate, go to GIBBQ.com. Thanks for joining the Grilling Guys. Have a great week.